The scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew 1, verses 20 through 23. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
About 700 years before Jesus came into the world, a great man of God made a prediction. God used Isaiah the prophet to foretell what Larry just read for our scripture reading. A virgin was going to conceive and bring forth a child. The child's name, as we heard from the reading, was going to be Emmanuel. The end of verse 23 is really where we start this morning. And as you look at that, the point is Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. You know, as we go through life, there are a lot of things that we want to go with us. If we go out and shop, we probably want to take with us, if we're a man, a billfold, or if we are a lady, a purse, we certainly want to have with us some form of payment. If we wear eyewear, it may be glasses, it may be contacts. When we go to do this or that, we want to have those products, those items with us so we can see. If we have a prescription, medicine, when we leave home for an extended period of time, we probably want to take that medicine with us. If we have a cell phone or some other electronic device like that, we probably, as we go from place to place, want to have that with us. An Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, said God would offer to be with man. And this presence is not just once a year or once a quarter or once a month or even when we assemble together on a weekly basis. God stands ready to be with us every single second of our lives. And God makes that offer through the one that we now call Jesus Christ. God will literally be with us if we become a Christian and if we remain faithful. The word with, as I'm sure you know, is a preposition. And like all the other prepositions in the New Testament, it presents us with a number of important truths. Sometimes the preposition with conveys truths that are simple but hard to put into practice. We see this in our next example, Matthew 5, verse 41. Here is another place where Jesus uses the preposition with, and he gave a scene which would have been familiar to those who heard him. Romans were allowed to compel Jewish people to carry their bags for a mile. The Jewish people did not like that law. They did not like to be baggage handlers. But Jesus told his people that they were to willingly abide by this rule. In fact, Jesus said you not only carry the bag or the luggage for a mile, but you need to go beyond what's required. Again, if you've turned to Matthew 5, let's look at verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him too. As you think about the people you know in life, does anybody come to mind as somebody that irritates you? Is there a person that you see perhaps on a regular basis or someone who calls you or someone who emails you, and this individual is someone that you really do not like all that much? Well, I think a lot of people would say, well, yes, there's not only one person like that in my life, but I've got two or three folks like that. Well, that was kind of how first century Jews looked at the Romans who wanted them to serve as baggage handlers. And Jesus said to the Jews as they thought about these people, you go with that person the second mile. Here the word with implies patience for those who irritates us. The word with reminds us that we need to take that phone call from the person that we may not want to talk to. Matthew 5:41 tells us that we want to try to assist those that we might normally prefer to avoid. That is certainly how Jesus lived his life as he was on the earth. Jesus could have spent his time with a lot of different people. But as you look at Matthew 9 verse 11, do you know who Jesus was with? Matthew says he was with the publicans, the tax collectors, and the sinners. Now, Jesus did not live as these people lived. He surely would have enjoyed spending additional time with those who were righteous. But Jesus spent a lot of time with the unlovely. He spent time with those that God considers to be his spiritual enemies. So when Jesus in Matthew 5:41 says, you go with those that you wouldn't want to go with the first mile, but you go with them the second mile, Jesus was telling people to do what he was doing in his life. We do not know if the Lord ever went the second mile, literally with the Roman soldier. But we do know Matthew 9 that he went the second mile with sinners. So the word with in Matthew 5:41 tells us to have patience with those who frustrate us and irritate us as well as our enemies. As we seek to go through life, we are going to be presented with two basic choices. And Jesus affirms these two choices or details these two choices in Matthew 12, verse 30. He must have made a statement there that startled a lot of people. He said, he that is not with me is against me. Our world often likes to avoid definite commitments. Recently, I saw some politicians being interviewed from both major political parties. The discussion was about health care. And these officials were asked to give some specific answers on these questions. Either tell us that the answer is yes or tell us that the answer is no. And in every single instance, the politicians, they gave a long speech, but they never said yes or no. And you never really knew which side of the fence that they were on. Well, Jesus says that it's not possible to waffle with him in that way. We can't somehow talk our way out of the choice and just keep talking and then people forget about the question. But Jesus says you must choose. You are either with me or you are not with me. There is no third choice. There is no third category. It is here or there. And if we're going to be with the Lord, we need to be patient with others. Matthew 5, verse 41, just as Jesus was. Now some may say, well, I think I may have an interest in siding with the Lord. How is that going to work in my life? Jesus gives us the answer. If you're following along in Matthew's gospel, let's look ahead a little bit to the information that we have in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 20. This is the place where Jesus talks about a man who planted a crop. Jesus compares the seed that was planted in this crop to God's word being sown in the lives and the hearts of people. We just want to take a small section of this parable, the information that's in Matthew 13, verse 20. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that hears the word, and straightway or immediately with joy receives it. A person cannot be with Jesus, Matthew 12, until he or she has heard the word. We know, we recognize that in life a crop will not grow if seed has not been planted in the ground. In a similar way, a person cannot be with Christ. They cannot be a child of God unless they are first exposed to the word of God. Seed must be put in good ground to grow. We can have the best seed in the world, and if we try to sow that on a parking lot like we have outside, it's simply not going to work. The seed must have good ground. That point is also true in the spiritual realm. There has to be good seed. A person has to have a good and receptive heart. So Jesus said the person must receive the word, and that reception is going to come with joy. People need to hear the word of God because God wants to be with man. Matthew 1, verse 23. This relationship, as we noted in Matthew 13, is started by hearing the scriptures, the word of truth. And when people comply, when they obey what we find in the scriptures, then God is with them. Matthew 1, verse 23. We want to become a Christian because it helps us in this life. We also want to become a Christian because it helps us after we die. If you're following along, let's move from Matthew 13 to our next reference. This is in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16, verse 27. Jesus not only came to save man from sin, Matthew 1:23. He's coming at a future time to raise all people. And here's a statement about that future time. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels. And then he shall render unto every man according to his deeds. The Lord will one day come back. And Jesus affirms that he's going to come with heaven's angels. The end of this verse reminds us that the Lord is not only going to come back, but every single person is going to be judged when this time comes. The Lord promised that every individual is going to be judged based on his or her deeds. The word with reminds us that Jesus is alive, he's going to return, and he will judge all people. Jesus wants us to be with him in eternity. That's why he came. Matthew 1:23. And we decide if we will be with him or not with him based on how we respond to his word, as we saw from Matthew 13, verse 20. God waits for us to decide to come with him. But you know, as we look at life, there are a lot of people who never make that choice. And that seems to frustrate God. This is indicated in the next chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 17, and the verse that we want is 17. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him hither to me. In our day and time, there are still people who are faithless, still people who are perverse. And we can ask the same question that's asked in Matthew 17, verse 17. How long will people today wait before they decide to act on what the Word of God says? Some say, well, I'm just going to wait. I like my life, and I'm going to let things go, and hopefully I'm going to write things before I die. But oftentimes, that is too late. Sometimes people do not side with God because the things in life just look so good. And the things that people are involved with, they say, well, this is the kind of life that I want to live. It pleases me. This is the way that I want to go. And they just never get around to, writing their relationship with God. Our next reference is Matthew 24, verse 29. And it ties into the preceding points. And out of all the statements that are made in the book of Matthew, this, in my mind, is one of the more interesting passages. In fact, when I first saw this passage more than 20 years ago, it was a passage that surprised me. It's a very intriguing statement. Sandwiched in between the information that we want is verse 51 as well as verse 58. In verse 51, Jesus talks about someone who will be cut asunder and cast into hell. He says in that same verse that this person will be classified as one of the hypocrites. Then in Matthew 24:48, Jesus describes the same individual as a servant who was wicked, a man who said, "My Lord tarries." In between that information, verse 48 and verse 51, we have this information in verse 49. And if you've ever looked at this passage carefully, stop and take a look at it. This servant shall begin to beat his fellow servants and shall eat and drink with the drunken. Have you ever noticed those words? This servant was with the drunken. It does not say that this servant was intoxicated. It simply says that this man was with, he was in the presence of those who were drunk. Do you recall that passage back there from Matthew chapter 12 where we noted that Jesus said, you're either with me or you're not? You're either on my side or someone else's side? This guy in Matthew chapter 24 was with someone else. And that same point can be true in our life. Today there are still some people who are with the drunkards. They're not necessarily drinking with them. They're not necessarily intoxicated, but that's where they choose to be. Or there's some people who choose to be with the illegal drug users. Or they choose to be with the sexually immoral. They choose to be with the liars, with the gamblers, with the gossip, with the troublemakers. The list goes on and on. Others choose to be with those who have a passing interest in Christianity. There are also those who say, we want to be with those people, the children of God, who have a strong desire to enter into heaven using the narrow way. As we go through life, who do we try to be with on a regular basis? Is that presence going to be with the saints of God or the company of sinners? God warns us in places like 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil companionships corrupt good morals. So God is concerned about the people that we are with in life. If we are with the wrong people who are doing the wrong things, we are not with the one who's righteous. Some think that they can play with sin for a period of time, and then, just before we die or later in life, when we get old, we can make things right and everything will be all right. It doesn't always work that way. Do we remember the story of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25? We're going to read a passage from Matthew 25. And as you look at this particular chapter, one of the words that again stands out is this preposition with. If you think about the story, you find that there were 5 women who took no oil with them. What was the problem with the 5 ladies that didn't have any oil? Was there an oil shortage? Was it that they had run out at the local supermarket? That wasn't the problem. Or was it the case that the women just didn't have enough money? They had escalated the price of oil and the lady said, we just don't have enough funds to pay for the oil. No, it was a preparation problem. And Jesus gives us one of the main reasons why people will be lost in eternity. Jesus came to save man. Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel, God with us. But there are a lot of people who simply do not take advantage of that offer. They don't want to embrace the gospel, Matthew 13. Be with Christ, Matthew chapter 12, because they want to do other things. And that will cause them to be locked out of eternity and eternally wishing that things could be changed, but there will be no hope. But the people who decided in this life to make preparations, they're going to be blessed. If you've turned over to Matthew 25, let's see what Jesus says in verse 10. And while they went away to buy, that would be the 5 foolish virgins, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him, there's a word again, to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. 5 wise women went with the bridegroom. Here the word with describes the preparation that will determine where each one of us spends eternity. If we are like the five wise virgins, we have a weekly reminder of the future promise that God has extended to us in his word. If you turn to Matthew 25, let me show you one other passage that sort of stands out as far as the word with, but maybe you've not really keyed in on this. Have we ever paid in Matthew 26, 29 close attention to the fact that the preposition with is used in this verse? It's important. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, I shall not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." I'm going to drink it, and I'm going to drink it with you. Do we realize the fact that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, the Lord is with us? That's the promise in Matthew 26, verse 29. If people read this verse and considered what it says, I'm persuaded that there is not a person that professes to love Christ who would worship in a place where the Lord's Supper is observed once a year. Or they would not want to have the Lord's Supper on a quarterly basis or a monthly, say, basis. If Jesus told the truth, and that statement is, when you have the Lord's Supper, I'm going to be with you. Well, how often do we want that to occur? How often do we want the Lord to be with us in worship? Once a year? No. Once a quarter? No. Once a month? No. We want that to be true every time we worship on the Lord's Day. And Jesus says that that is possible. He will be with us when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And that is one of the reasons why we have the Lord's Supper every single Sunday. The Lord is with us during that time as well as the other portions of worship. Now, this does not mean that Christ is not with us at other times. Jesus, for example, in Matthew 28, verse 20, promised to be with his people at all times. But when we come to worship, and he specifically gives the illustration of the Lord's Supper, he is with us in this way as well. If we want to go through life with our pocketbooks and with our medicine and with our eyewear, all those things are great. But how sad to go through life and have all those things with us, items that we consider pretty important, but not to go through life with Christ every single day. That's sad, and that's not necessary. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was sent into the world so he could be with us. Well, that relationship, as we noted in Matthew chapter 13, begins by being exposed to the Word of God. The gospel has to be sent into our life. We need to receive that word. And if we do that, that means that we believe it. That word tells us that we have to turn away from sin. The Bible calls that repentance. That word, it tells us to acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God, and all those things are requirements. But there's a final step. We are stained by sin, get old enough to know what right and wrong are, and we violate God's will. And somehow those sins have to be washed away. And the Bible solution for that is found in Acts 22:16. A man was told, "And now why tarriest thou? Why wait? Arise, get up, be baptized, and wash away thy sins." That's what he did. Called on the name of the Lord, and was baptized to have his sins forgiven. He wanted God to be with him. This morning, if God is not with us, and we want that to be changed in our life, it can be. We can get up because of our belief, because we want to repent, we want to confess that Christ is the Son of God, and we can be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Some do that, and then they drift. Well, in those cases, it's also possible to come back, to be restored, and once again, to be with God. Jesus said, "You are with me, or you're on the other side of the fence." This morning, where are we? Are we with God, with Emmanuel, the one who wants to save us? Or are we with some other folks? If we're with the other folks, God's invitation is open to us to make things right with him. And if there's a way that we can help you do that, will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?
These have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the path of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Be seated, please.
This last week we had a very successful